And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, coming to you live from Simpsonville, South Carolina. God dang it, I'm even getting an accent. Oh, shit, I went to the dump today. Anyway, I'm losing all my kind of accents. I'm joined today by two lovely and very funny women. Of course, I had you married already. Yeah. Mary Upchurch. Mary, welcome.
It was a nice thought that one day I can get married. Thank you. Wishful thinking.
I just see you with a man. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. I suggest. And Gina Savage.
Yes. Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's very nice to have you ladies and welcome. And, I usually start the show by talking about the last time we've met or how we met. We met at the NoHo Comedy Festival.
Yeah, you were making inappropriate jokes with Jack Jr. in the R Hotel.
We had a very funny video where I acted like a hostage, and he was ISIS, and we were trying to get everybody to the bowling night. You know, as a comedy festival, you got to do things on the off night, so we're gonna have a bowling night. And you were nice enough. You bought a lot of Starbucks. We walked in that hotel room, and you had everything in there. You had sweets and candies, and not candies, but everything's candy to me. If it's
no, Dougie, my hotel was the snack suite. Like the festival had, like, they're like, Mary, we don't have a room for you, but you can be in the hospitality room. I was like, all right. So it looked like it wasn't me, though.
I get it.
The Starbucks was me.
Well, I hope next time I can get a room in the stripper room. Just happen to get a free room, honey. It's a free room. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, the last time was at the Comedy Cactus Classic in your home state, Arizona.
That was a good festival too.
And you guys run a great festival. You know, the Broken Drift Productions, you guys do a great job. Very professional.
They really do. And I'm not a producer with them. I'm just friends with all of them, but they do such a good job. And I think they're really starting to perfect the one club festival model of, like, it's all in one place. So, yeah.
I like that idea. I don't want to re-drive. I mean, sometimes it's great to have different venues, but yeah, then you can get one hotel, by the way, which I've learned recently, because rental car expenses are so much that it's much better to just get a hotel, and as expensive as it is, so you can walk to the venue.
Yes. Because you want to hang out. You want to drink. You want to party. You want to have a good time. You can't be, got screwed by Uber at that festival. Yeah.
and Gina, we met actually for the first time when you've made the move to Florida. Now, Gina's been a New York girl, but and she's found a second home in Florida and goes back and forth. So that's how we met.
Yes. For tax purposes, I live in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, I live in New York. No, but I am in Florida. We did meet.
Who's your tax advisor? Holy shit.
My tax advisor is the tax advisor to many comedians, actually, Harvey Altman.
Oh.
Sounds like a director. Harvey Altman is directing my taxes. Yeah. By the way, Mary, you have a lot. I love your voice, by the way. It's like a very, I love her lilting voice. But anyway, we met there. Yeah. And I'm loving it here.
It's a big difference, right? Like, because I left Florida and everybody was asking me, like, Florida's building and building. It's more of a scene. And I'm like, well, I've been here my whole comedy life. You know what I mean? It's time to find a place where I'm not going to sweat my balls off.
I hear that.
Yeah. Really?
I do hear you, but
I was just picturing that.
I was really literally sweating my balls off, but I know what you're saying.
For some reason, it wasn't a deal breaker for me. I was still all right.
Yeah.
I've been on the road a long time. Well, it's good. And you guys have never met to this point. It's nice to do these kind of things. One of the topics, ladies, I like to ask questions of my guests, but since we have two lovely ladies here, ladies, are we heterosexual? Do we like both? Are we lesbian? Like, what is our? I don't know. I don't want to assume.
I'll start. I'm straight. You know, I do find women. Just to be fair, I find women attractive. I'm not attracted to them in that way. But there have been moments where I'm like, wow, she's hot. You know, I mean, but no.
Yeah, it sounds about you. Like you said, you want to put a strap on and have the weekend.
No, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Right. Sorry, ladies. No, I totally like men. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Dougie, I'm in a very questioning part of my life right now where I'm in a very unique situation where I am attracted to men, but I also hate men. So it's a real conundrum right now. So they do the worst things, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it. But yes, I am straight for now.
I get you. Well, I understand. Trust me, because I had a lot of – listen, I'm a guy. I understand how, you know, listen, I was a bad guy too. You know what I mean? Like I was, you know, there was a time there where I was, you know, and so I understand. So I was not surprised when a lot of women became bi and made that choice in life. And you know what? God bless them. Because, you know, who am I to tell who they go down on? I don't care. You know, I don't, as long, I just want somebody to go down on me. That's, you know what I'm saying? Listen, we all have priorities. I'm just saying.
Can't we all just go down on everyone?
Listen, yeah. you got to be 6 feet from everybody. But when this COVID thing is over, we're going to go to the next level. Everybody's just going to go down on each other.
It's just going down.
No more handshakes. No more fist bumps. Just get on your knees. any rate, so well, my question to you then is, why do good girls love bad boys? Everybody knows it. Everybody's seen it. You know, all the good guys, they try to be bad boys, but that's like somebody trying to be cool. You know, why is that, ladies? Why do you love the bad boys?
Mary, do you want to start off?
I mean, I can, does it make a difference? I guess. Yeah.
Go ahead. Know,
okay. I'm finally at the age where I don't subscribe to this anymore. Like it is true, but I'm trying not to do it. You know, I'm trying not to fall for the bad boy. It's really like the guy that will like jerk you around or, you know, he's just not ready to commit. I don't know why I'm trying to break that cycle myself. But I imagine, the bad boys have, you know, bigger dicks.
So you're saying you think a person's attitude, because that, like, I would, as a guy, I'm the only one on the show here that could probably attest to this, but as a guy, you know, I can imagine that if I'm sitting there with a baseball bat, you know, I'm going to be like one of those guys with an attitude, like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I mean, I got a dick that has its own, it's had its own social security number. So I can act any way I want. So that's your opinion. So usually those guys with that much confidence.
It manifests itself in their attitude. They have that energy. So
I have to address this because I've always liked a bad boy, always have. And I think there's, you know, I think part of it is like, let's just take, I mean, a character. I'm just going to pull a character out, just like a Tony Soprano, right? Everything that you could like, somebody would definitely, he's like a sociopath, he's a narcissist, he's like, you know, who knows if he's bipolar. Love him, right? Charming, dangerous, right? Charming and dangerous. And so there's something to be said for trying to, like, you know, like tame it, you know, and it cannot be tamed. And yeah, that makes it exciting. You know, you feel alive, although you want to kill yourself by the time the relationship is over. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I understand. Like me, especially like in high school and stuff, I was always like a good, like I was a guy that said, okay, no, you know what I mean? I was like, whatever, I don't want to push, you know, I would never like make the first move. I was that guy. I was never the guy to make the first move. I would have to have a girl come over and, you know, and figure it out. And by the way, I'm very excited because somebody recently told me, I reminded them of James Gandolfini. So, I'm thinking, you know, and that's, you know, now that's the women that hit on me there. You know, it's usually from comedy. I'm getting, you know, I haven't had women hit on me as much until the comedy thing. And, you know, and it's usually because, oh, you know, you just have this way about you. Like, you know, you're bad at, you know, I'm like, I'm telling dick jokes, you know? Yeah, that's good to hear.
Well, it's the confidence, right? It's these types of men you know, that are bad, they exude a confidence. Whether, you know, I'm not saying it's a positive confidence, it could be totally psychotic, but it's, there's a level of charm with it, unfortunately. And I understand Mary's point where, like, as we get a little bit more aware of these things, we don't want to, you know, engage in it, you know, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
Yeah. Gina, and that's why now, you know what I'm looking for? I've figured it out. I'm looking for a guy who's like a nerd in the streets and a bad boy in the sheets, like an undercover, maybe reformed bad boy, or just like a nerd who's underappreciated, undervalued, but he's really got, he's got stuff going on, you know. But
yeah. I think you just described Superman and Clark Kent.
Exactly.
The nerd.
The ultimate. Yeah.
Because he's got the glasses on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's Superman. I mean, could you imagine, like who the hell is going to go out with Lois Lane after Superman? You know what I mean? It's like,
who's she? Right. You can't top that.
Superman. I was hoping you'd say fucking Robin. You know, I mean, holy shit. All right. Well, so we know now that guys with bad boys usually are guys with big sausage. They're well endowed men. As Mary has obviously said, she's met many of them men with big tools. And you know what? As Gina said, yes, there's a swagger and there's a confidence that's very exciting. So men, work on that. Otherwise, you're going to be on RedTube all weekend. All right, our next question. When it comes to dating, what are your biggest deal breakers? Like, you know, like I'll start it. Like, I dated a girl once in college that hot, man. She looked like, who's the girl, the dancer, used to be on the videos and the singer, Paula Abdul. She was Paula Abdul before I even knew who Paula Abdul was.
That's so hot, cute.
Hot girl, you know, in college. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm still 19. And but she had a breath like a garbage can. And I was like, after the second time, I'm like, holy shit, this is like it was not just one bad day. You know, sometime, who knows, you know, you suck on shit, you know, before you got home from work. Oh, who has breath like that? But you know what I mean? But the second time, oh, that was it.
That was your deal breaker.
Deal breaker.
Totally has to be a deal breaker. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the on and off ghosting nonsense. You know, like I like a guy to, you know, call when he says he's going to call, or, you know, there's not this, like, there's no games. Like, I can't deal with the games. I'm just no games, just no games. I'm a grown up. You know, you want to see me? You have my number. You don't want to see me? Tell me you don't want to see me. Let's call it a day. I don't need to be my time to be wasted. Yeah.
So if a guy calls you and says he wants you to go to a bar and play Zynga or whatever that game is, what's the game with the blocks?
Jenga.
Is a poker game.
Yeah. Going to a bar for me would be a deal breaker because I don't do that. But I don't drink. So, no, I mean, you know, no, pretty much just be like a decent human being. And as Mary so eloquently put it up top, I mean, a lot of these men are not so nice, right? They're not even, it's a hard time. I mean, just be a person, just be decent.
Gotcha. Mary.
You know what? You're inspiring me, Gina. Okay, I was going to say a deal breaker is a guy like who like has no friends or no
yeah.
You know, like I think that's a bad signal if a guy doesn't have like a best friend or a community. But what Gina just said, I will never date like another alcoholic. That's going to be a deal breaker. I don't want a raging alcoholic who's like, you know, and they say one thing when they're drunk, they say something else when they're sober. Like, I'm just not interested in that.
That's interesting you say that because I know somebody within my family or people I know. Y'all, they all love you. And they're like, can I get Mary's number? And I'm like, give me a break, dude. I'm still, anyway. So I'm, you know, so I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying?
In your family.
Oh, family. Oh, about, you know, or somebody in the family, like they met in a NA and they met in NA.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember sitting there with other family members and somebody, and I was young. So I wasn't putting in my two cents, but somebody said, hey, you think it's a good idea to get married to a girl you met in NA?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know if that, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off as sitting there listening to the show, watching, so I go, that fucking asshole, we're doing fine, aren't we? Wake up, fucker.
Yeah, because then you understand each other and you know each other's like limits. But I've noticed when a guy doesn't drink, he's interested in so many other things. But if he's really into drinking, then that's all. Everything centers around that.
Interesting.
She's right. And actually, you know, there's two ways of looking at meeting someone in a like a recovery environment. Like you both are working on whatever you're working on, right? But, you know, what's that? It's a stupid expression. Two sickies don't make a welly, right? So, yeah. You know, so there's that too.
Well, mathematically and scientifically, two negatives are a positive. So I don't know. Maybe we're not part of, maybe we should stop following the science. Don't take that vaccine. I want to say that because people think I actually believe that. Do whatever you want, man. All right. If you had a time machine, where and when would you go? Barry, where would you do? Like, first of all, would you go like into the future or would you go into the past? And then you say like, what, like, I think I, you know, I got very fond memories. I got a like very photogenic, like I can't remember people's names, but I can meet somebody after years and go, oh, dude, didn't we go to the Molly Hatchet concert in 83? You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember that shit, but I don't remember the guy's name. You know what I mean? So I got a vivid memory. So I would be more interested in going into the future, even though I'll probably be crippled and not walking because of my bad back and, you know, my fat ass and, you know, I'll be bald and be like, oh, what happened to my hair? You know, I'd be a little pissed. Who knows?
I'd go back to the sixth grade and I would take PE class a little more seriously and just like get really into it instead of being like finding ways to get out of it. And I would take school more seriously and I would like kind of have a plan more. Cause I feel like I wasted a lot of time just, you know, I was in junior college for like 7 years. Like, I would have, and maybe even started comedy sooner. But I would have just like, I don't know. I didn't have very good parents. No, like nobody told, I don't know. I just got by. I was such a C student and I was so distracted. I would have done better in school and I would have started running a lot sooner.
I could picture you saying, being there in PE class, like, I don't want to do this. And then everybody's doing it and you thinking back, oh, if I would have just done it, I would have been good.
My 16-minute mile, you know, like I would
have. I still have a 16-minute mile. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love, that's my part of my over 40 soccer bit. I'm in an over 40 waist league. You know? Like, yeah, to be on the team, you got to be able to do a 2-day mile. You know, you can take a fucking break. You actually get a flex day if you got to work. you just put a cone to put it in the middle of the road. That's funny. So where would you go, Gina?
You know, it's funny. I didn't even think about the, like, going into the future. Like, that was just not even like a, like, I went to, like, you know, when I was in school, like, time periods that I, you know, liked and gravitated to. So, and I, you know, because it's full of drama and I like the clothing, I'd probably go back. I like the clothing. The Roman Empire days, you know, those guys in the, you know, with, you know, all that garb and, you know, being dragged around, whatever. You know, it's just my little fantasy. Yeah, the Roman era days.
Yeah, back like Caligula, right? Have you guys seen?
Yeah, the movie crazy, like, yeah. Caligula. I never saw it, but I know of it. Yeah,
very, very, very good movie. Have you seen that movie, Mary? You're too young, maybe.
I have not seen it. Yeah. No, but I have an idea.
Make sure you go to Blockbuster right after this podcast and go rent it. All right. If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
Let me think.
I would ask, seriously, it was just really this quick. If I could ask God a question, it would be, what's next? You know, what's next? If I got a chance to meet God, what's happening now? You know?
Yeah.
So what's that would be my question.
God, I have one question for you, God. What's your next project? Humanity thing, you know? I mean, I don't want, the second question would be, are we your first project? You know, Mary?
Why? I would just ask God why.
Yeah. I think that's what I would want to know. I'd be like, what was our purpose? Like, what was our purpose? You know, I mean, we know that what we were told, you know, we were supposed to do, right? The golden rule, you know, all these other things that most religions share, you know, there's certain things, there's somewhat continuity and consistency with some of the religions besides the fringe. But, you know, so what was the purpose, you know? And how can I get away from all these other fucking humans? Is there a special place for me? I really hope there's a special place for me. That's interesting, right? What was your favorite TV show growing up or shows? And the second question I just thought of was, you know, do you think TV was better then than it is now?
Ooh. Well, I hate dating myself, but I, you know, as a tiny tot, I loved, I was fascinated with Carol Burnett, the Carol Burnett show. I love Lucy. I didn't obviously watch that when it first came out, you know, but those shows, Sonny and Cher, I had to be Cher. I mean, the hair is still, I mean, it's still so like, but the comedic women, you know, and even I think I was like, even SNL in the early days, because I was a kid when it first came out, but I was riveted.
Women dominated the early years of SNL.
They did, yeah. And yeah.
Gilda, you know, Radner.
Gilda Lorraine Newman. Yes.
Maybe I'm just trying to get laid by saying that. Actually, now that I think about it, there's a lot of good male guys. Sorry, guys. Some guy just asked me for my mail card. Get away. I'll be back later. My man card, my mail card. I lost it. Now I lost it. I just called my man card a mail card. I'm done. yeah, that's awesome. Carol Burnett show, Harvey Korman, you know, that shit was hilarious. Like, yeah, Mrs. Weekends. Mrs.
Yeah.
Weekends.
You know, it's great. Like
hilarious shit. And I think of times like that, you know, back then was like the Jeffersons, Good Times.
All in the Family, that whole era. Yeah.
Barney Miller was a TV show that was got to be the cheapest fucking TV show to ever produce, because they had one scene. They had one set. Everything was done in the precinct. They didn't, mm-hmm. If somebody ran out the door to catch somebody, they wouldn't find him in the street. They would fucking have him coming walking in. Oh, I caught the guy. I mean, like, did they ever fucking... you know, and of course,
I feel like it was like simpler. Like you could do, things were just very simple humor too. Like just funny characters in outrageous situations. And I feel like now it's like we overthink everything, or everything has to be really deep and have like these other meanings.
Yeah.
I grew up like the sitcoms I love. I grew up in the 80s. And so, I love Night Court. Now that you mentioned Barney Miller, I was like, we watched Night Court like every single night when it was probably syndicated at that point. But
I was just speaking to somebody about who Marsha Warfield was.
Yeah.
She was great. She's a funny, hilarious comedian.
All like the ensemble was so good. But also I loved, we watched a lot of like the family, like TGIF kind of stuff. And I loved like Punky Brewster and Full House and Silver Spoons. And I realized like in the 80s, what? I mean, that's just what we watch. That's what I like. But have you noticed like the 80s hated moms? Like they killed off so many moms. It was all about being an orphan. And it's like, why? Looking back, it's like, oh no, that's not cool. But look at these men trying to raise children. Wow.
Yeah, three men and a baby, the movie. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
That was a great movie though.
It was a good movie.
But that, you're right. I never thought of it that way, Mary, because you're right. Maybe it was a way to tell guys that, hey, you know, don't put up with that shit, you know?
No, it's a way to show that, like, men get, like, all this credit for doing stuff women just do instinctively or basically.
Well, obviously, men produced the show. It was a guy that said, listen, this is my idea. We're going to have a couple guys. We're going to get together and raise a fucking kid, you know?
Conversely, they had She's the Sheriff, and that didn't go anywhere, but...
That's awesome. I just think it's, you know, it's great. That's what I'm saying. Memories, you know, you picture these old TV shows and stuff and old movies, and it's just experiences, you know, it's amazing. I was watching Animal House like a week ago, and there's a scene where the scene where he's in the new guy, the freshman, was in the bedroom upstairs in that party with that young girl. And he's like, the devil pops on his shoulder. He's like, fuck her, you know, fuck her. You know, and the angel's like, don't do it. You know, she's pure, you know, and this and that, right? And in the meanwhile, there's a Confederate flag in the background of the whole scene. You're like, well, you can't. They won't show that movie anymore on most networks. what was your favorite part of – what is your favorite part of stand-up? And what is your least favorite part of this industry?
I'd have to say I love connecting with a crowd and having people after like hug you or hug me and just tell me how much they like me or that moment. Like you can see it sometimes in the, when you're on stage, like when you tell a joke and people look at their loved ones and go, that's you. Or, you know, like it's now like a little, they're like, they connected with you. And I just think that is such magic. That's my favorite. My least favorite thing is the stuff that does it. It's subjective, you know, like you said earlier, you were like, oh, everybody loved me, but then I didn't, you know, win or I didn't get this. And it's like those times where it just doesn't make sense. And you're like, the subjectivity, I guess.
Yeah. I hear you.
It doesn't go my way.
That's the thing I think about that when you get those laughs, you know, when you know you can wield that because it feels like a power, right? Like when you know, like I that's the thing when you're on stage and you say something, you just watch somebody go, you know,
yeah.
And that, I mean, you feel like, you know, you feel like you have a superpower, you know, then all of a sudden for somebody or some gets something happen in the industry that makes you feel like you're not like when if a booker doesn't ever respond to your emails or, you know what I mean? Or you don't, you know, the club owner or somebody walks by and says to somebody else, hey, nice set. And you're standing there like, what about me, fucker? You know, you ever have a moment like that? Like, can you imagine? Like, those are the moments that you're just like, you'll be thinking about it for 3 weeks. That kind of shit. That's the thing to me that's like, can be like, you know, like, you know, Gina?
Well, what I love about stand up or anything related to the arts, right? I love, to piggyback off Mary again, I just, the human connection, right? This is a live thing that we're doing. And I think that anyone who does it is brave. It's a brave thing to put yourself out there. So I give people a lot of credit, for doing it. And also, to tap into like what's happening in the world and to make people laugh so that, you know, we can have a moment where we're not all in pain about things. I think, so I love that part of stand-up, the enlightening part. What I don't like is the business. I don't like the business of stand-up. Yes. Never liked it. Don't like the politics or any of that other stuff. I like just being genuinely who I am in that. But the business part of it, I don't like. And I don't like when sometimes people are so unaware that they're not funny. I mean, that they think they're funny and they're not. Right. And that's a very hard moment in life. But I understood what you were talking about. Like it's rude when a club owner or booker says something to someone. I personally try not to have those moments, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, what you just said to me is interesting because, you know, regarding that, like, you know, there's so much of the industry that's just, you know, it's just ugly. I mean, you know, you don't like, you know, you're like, it's not easy. You're not like, you know, when I've spent my whole life as a financial advisor, you know, so I dealt with people with suits and, you know, who knows what they do, but the decorum, you know, that's always there is like, oh, you know, respectful, blah, blah, blah. There's conversation. They would, people tell you the way it is, you know, that's, hey, listen, you know, listen, I'm not giving you the corner office because your numbers were low. You know, all that you got to do is this and this, you know, as opposed to like a comedy club or somebody saying, hey, listen, I think you're funny, you know, but right now I don't think you're ready. You know, the guy from Mark Ridley from the Comedy Cast, you know, years ago, I auditioned, I told him and you sent him a video. He's like, I just don't think you're ready. I'm like, well, thank you. You know, I wasn't upset about that because it's simple, you know, but when somebody says, oh, I'll get in touch with you, then you're like,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course. It's
like, be straightforward. Yeah.
Just be honest. Mm-hmm. It's also funny when you said people are not aware because that's coming from a point of a booker. Like I, you know, Gina books shows, I book shows. Do you book any venues, Mary?
They don't let me do that.
Don't do it. It's a pain in the ass. That's why we're like a little, you know,
yeah.
Bitter. I think it's a little bitter. But you're right. Yeah, Just, yeah. You know, just, for example, Gina books a great room in Boca Raton. It's called the Dubliner Irish Bar. It's on Meisner Park. Beautiful location. I got to book that room years ago for like 6-8 months on a Sunday until football season started. Fuck.
Bye-bye. Right. Ta-ta.
But a fun room and great room. And it's a challenging room because it's got a beautiful stage, well-lit and everything, but it's got a bar and it's got open doors and it's a free show because people are coming in. So it's challenging. So you may have a comic that thinks they're funny, but yeah, if they're sitting at the Improv in front of a paid crowd that's going to laugh at everything, you know, compared to a bar where people want to get drink, they're trying to get laid, you know, they're doing all this kind of shit. Oh, there's a comedy show going on.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about real quick what I like, what I don't like. What I like is that it's a great workout room. So if you have the chops, that it's a great place to, you know, so I like being in a position where, you know, people are honing their craft a little bit. What I don't like is having to say that. But since this is where, you know, like shush or this or that. So I've gotten into the habit now. I think I'm going on like this might be my 5th or 6th month myself at this point. I think February, March, 5 months. So end of February. And finally, it took a while. And sometimes it doesn't always happen. But, you know, like beat people over the head. This is a comedy night and you treat the Dubliner. I don't know why I'm doing that, but you treat the Dubliner like a comedy club that night. Pay attention. People come far and wide to perform for you here. And it's true. It's a great show. Yeah.
It's good that you do that because some hosts or some people that run a venue don't have the balls. As we found out, you have the balls tonight on the show.
But I clearly have the balls.
Yeah, she does. And Mary, don't worry about booking a venue. Aside from that, the only thing I could say is that creativity aspect, because that's why we do it, right? It's like when you're on stage, to me, this is the last year or so has been that thing that made me just like as a golfer, you can suck. You could shoot like 120. But if you hit one ball crisply and you hear that great noise and ball just traveled and you're watching it, you know, disappear, you're like, I'm going to play tomorrow. You know, but that glimmering moment, it's like when you're on stage, and you make up something on stage, you know, you react and you just come out with a new tag. You just come out with something new on a joke and it crushes. And you're like, fuck, you know, it's like, even if the check bounced, you'd be like, fuck it. Had a good weekend. I mean, that's
the best magic right there. That's the why you keep doing it.
Absolutely. All right. It's time for the news is a joke. Now, ladies, you know, we used to have to go to like really weird places on the internet like to get weird stories, but now I just pull them right off Yahoo. It's that simple. Let's see what we got here. I got them already, hold on. All right, man says he found 160 bowling balls under his Michigan home.
Those are my balls.
He found a man who has more balls. And by the
many
way,
balls, yeah.
By the way, it does say here, Gina, that he's a bad boy, and he looks like Tony Soprano.
That's it. Well, I'm heading out there.
His wife got tired of keeping them in her purse.
Oh my God.
I mean, all right. So basically, the nut of the story is that somebody thought it'd be a good idea instead of putting cement down or like a real foundation for this home. They said, you know what? You know how we had to sell the bowling alley because nobody was coming to go bowling anymore? Everybody's going fucking roller skating. What we need to do is we need to take all the balls. Shoot, no shoes, idiot. Not shoes, bowling balls. We got to take all those bowling balls. We're going to put it underneath my house.
I can't even. I can't even. I you know, that story's hilarious to me. The discovery of all the balls.
Yeah, the owner
big
started
ball
realizing.
Discovery.
They're walking up the stairs and the stairs are kind of leaning.
Right.
I'm like crazy in my new house. I'll see like a little like crack in the foundation that goes like, let's say the archway of the door, you know, like a hallway or something. You see like this little, like, oh fuck, why did I buy this piece of shit? You know, it's just a crack. It's a normal thing. Yeah. It turns out bowling balls aren't a great foundation in the house. David Olson, 33, is learning that firsthand that the guy who owned the house before him probably owned a bowling alley. And discovered the home purchased in Muskegon, Michigan 2 years ago is built on top of old bowling ball.
I hear they can hear like pins clank in the middle of the night.
All those turkeys getting killed. Yeah. All those. All right.
The paranormal Big Lebowski's going on in there.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? Like, I mean, how would you get rid? I mean, somebody said, hey, I got an idea to get rid of the bowling ball. Like, that's the only way that idea, like, that idea had to precede the idea of using it as a foundation. Like, somebody was sitting there going, well, Rodney Dangerfield, I got a lot of balls. which is a great movie, by the way. Ever see that movie? Bumblebees? I don't know what it was. Yeah, so let's move on. Intoxicated woman goes on masturbation spree in front of cops and says she's pleasing the boys. Now, I don't know why I chose this story.
I know why. I mean, what? Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Now I'm going to speak for the men that are watching and listening, which is the majority, about 65% of our viewers are men. And, you know, listen, guys like that. You know, I'm sure a guy has asked you ladies in the past, hey, would you mind, you know, tinkling and doing, you know, taking, you know, starting before me, you know, get a little warmed up. You know what I'm saying? You know, we know it's a guy. Guys like that. I mean, has a man asked you? You have to tell me if you've done it. I'm not going to ask. But if this guy asked you to do that?
Again, they're trying to get the credit for us doing all the work. Like, they don't want to do anything. I've got to do that too. Like, I do
it.
It's fine. If you're there, what do I need you for? This is why. This is why I'm so frustrated with men right now. Like, come on. Seriously. You know, what do they say? Like, women, it takes women, like, you have to be 90% confident you're ready for a job before you'll apply. But men, they're like around 50 or 40%. And they're like, I can do it. Like,
yeah.
It blows my mind.
I get it. So you feel like this is like a guy asking you to say, hey, let's go on a date, get in my car, but help me push start it.
Yeah,
you know, I'll get in it and drive it. Just, I'm going to drop it into second gear. Just give it, we got to get up to 10 miles an hour.
And I have my own car. If that's the case, I don't need you then. Yeah,
exactly. Gina?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, what woman doesn't go around masturbating all the time? I'm just kidding. Look, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure the guys were, you know, that's a better knife for the cops than, your basic domestic. You know what I'm saying?
Let me throw this into the story. So we'd be fair. I saw a photo of the woman, and it's not like something if I walked upon that I would stop. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, God.
I don't know. Isn't it all riveting? Isn't it all riveting? You know, I'm sure the next day, you know, see, I think she should capitalize on this moment instead of like having regret or, oh, my God, I did too many drugs. She should probably own it. Yeah, that was me. And then go on a tour of like masturbation, but she should own it, you know.
Blue Lives Matter tour or something.
You know, just own it. It happened. And it happened.
Yeah, she could be like, she could just start doing stand-up now. You know what I mean? She has a following a little bit.
A good crowd.
Totally.
Yeah, she could say she was on the, what's newspaper is this? Oh, the International Business Times. Seeing in the International Business Times and in the parking lot of a local come and go.
That's a better credit than what I have. So, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, a stark naked woman was caught masturbating in a pickup truck parked at a car dealership in Mankato, a city located 80 miles from Minneapolis. Jennifer Dort Weber, who continued with the self-pleasuring despite the arrival of the cops who sat there and filmed all of it.
Well, yeah, it's like
they had the dash cams. Yeah, the body cams, dash cams.
Yeah. We're not going to beat up anybody. Just turn the body cam on.
Should we let her finish or get a hold?
She wouldn't stop according to the article. She was not stopping until she was ready to stop. Who could blame her? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, once you get to a certain point, you know. I mean, for me, it's usually in about the fourth or fifth minute, depending on how well I'm holding the iPad. are we giving away too much? I don't know. I like it, and I think it's a good thing. And you know what? Who's she hurting? You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's a victimless crime. It really is, except for the guys who had to see her face.
Well, except for the owner of the car who said he did not allow her to be in it. But yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. Now that car has a special memory.
Yeah, now my car smells like it's owned by a fisherman in Alaska.
Oh, man.
I mean, the only reason I said that is because I was inspired by her photo. And she looks like, in the mortal words of Otto and George, she had a stanky pussy. Mary, have you ever seen Otto and George, the act?
I have not.
All right, so after the show, be sure to just trust me, go to YouTube and pull them
probably
up.
Probably not.
Please
Absolutely.
Do. Please do. Every comic should see Otto and George.
Everything ends in a cock.
A cock.
A cock. But he was
brilliant.
I'll
get right on top of that, Rose.
it was brilliant, actually. Yeah.
I mean, obviously this wasn't today, but there would be a black guy sitting in the front row or something. You'd be like, look, there's a black guy. Guilty. He was just a fucking... But he was like... And he was not a very good ventriloquist. You'd see his mouth moving and shit. But great story behind the guy. And I worked at the old New York Comedy Club in Florida where I got started, and I got to open for him. Like, you know, so it was a great experience.
Wow.
Two arrested for selling animal genitalia over superstitious beliefs. And let's face it, if you're going to be buying animal genitalia, you're probably superstitious.
Well, they will just sell anything on Amazon and eBay these days, right? But yeah. Bump. I just put on bumped myself.
Thank you. I need be sure that you send them overnight. Two men were arrested from Rewari. Doesn't sound like it's in this country. On Tuesday for allegedly selling genitals of male monitor lizards. You ever seen the genitalia of a monitor lizard?
Can't say that I have.
Yeah, me either. For the last 4 months through social media in collaboration with a few astrologers in Delhi, NCR, Indian. To people with superstition beliefs that police said the monitor lizards is protected species under the Indian Wildlife Protection Act of 1972. Listen, I just think that it's really good that somebody's becoming somewhat entrepreneurial. Like, too many people nowadays are not like, they're just sitting on the couch, they're collecting, you know, government checks, they're going to be pissed when September hits, and they got to actually work. Like, we're comics, we're creative, right? We don't worry about what we're getting paid.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Like they're entrepreneurial. At least they're not robbing people. You know, I mean, they're killing an endangered species. I guess that's kind of bad, but you know, pretty bad. But at least they're trying. You know, I mean, there's so many people in India. You know, think about that. Like India, like think about it. There's so many people in India. It's not like you can walk into a local like butcher shop and go, "I need a job. Let's get in line. There's 4 billion people ahead of you." You know, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Don't touch the animals. The end.
Yeah. Be nice to the animals. They're the ones who are going to
inherit the earth.
Exactly. Speaking of the animals, horny internet outrage over Lola Bunny, boobs, and new Space Jam sequel. I'm going to guess that you ladies did not watch the first Space Jam basketball cartoon.
Dare you assume that, Dougie?
All right. Well, prove me wrong.
I'm sorry.
I did not. So. So you're absolutely on point with that.
Well, in the first Space Jam, we had Michael Jordan, and it's a Bugs Bunny thing, and they're in space, and all these evil characters have a basketball game, and they got Michael Jordan. He puts together a team, and they win. Now they got flopping crab, the man with cramps, LeBron James, self-proclaimed king of LeBron James. I don't really care for LeBron James. I've lost it with him. But he's the new star on it, and they had a woman in the first version of it. The bunny had a nice set. I mean, you know,
she had a rack.
But now, because we're all so woke, the bunny is like, you know,
it's flat.
It's an average. You know, there's nothing. You know what I mean?
More athletic build.
Nah, I mean, she's still got the same ass. I mean, it's a cartoon. You know what I mean? So. The only way to really sometimes distinguish in a cartoon the difference between a male and a female cartoon character is the ass. And she's got a belly, you know, not belly, a bell ass, you know what I mean? But she doesn't have the boobs. She looks a little like uneven. She looks, reminds me of a girl I dated when I was in ninth grade. You know, long legs, nice ass, but nothing. It's been 25 years since the original Space Jam was released. Fans were excited until they saw Lola Bunny's titties, or the lack of.
All right, this is stupid, number one. But number two, it says two different things. One, I get their point of like trying to like take the over-sexualization out of the cartoon, right? But the other thing is, what are you saying? Women with boobs can't be smart? Like, it's two things going on here. Or rabbits with boobs. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, really. And so that's not going to make me, you know, go to the movie or not go to the movie. But I think if, you know, they want to appeal to young girls and you know, that'll go. And so it's not about whatever. But
I know a lot of young girls with big boobs. I'm not talking about underage. I'm talking about young to watch a movie. You know, Meredith, is that something like you think like, there's a certain depiction of women? Like, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't, you know, I mean, it's not like you're going to have one of the stars on there be a guy who's got like, you know, I don't know, no bulge.
Well, real quick.
I mean, do cartoons show men bulges? I mean, is that something guys have to worry about? I mean, we don't, right? It's like, there's just a zipper. There's usually.
Well, did they change any of the other characters, or the other characters all look the same?
Oh yeah, LeBron. LeBron looks like he's hiding a fucking a watermelon in his pants, or you know, a sausage or something. He's just, you know, like getting bigger cockpit. You know, what was that Batman?
It looks like they just made her a little more sporty. She still has very sexy eyes, and they probably just wanted to have a more like a better character for girls to relate to as they watch the cartoon, instead of like this like, oh, this huge like bouncy boobs and like a tiny waist, even though she's still. Looks like she's like really athletic, but and her eyes are really sexy. But I don't know. It seems kind of appropriate to me, like just not over sexualizing a cartoon.
Yeah, like maybe that's much. She's got the eyes, she's got the legs, she's good looking. There's no need to add the boobs.
Yeah, right? I think that's what their point was. Yeah. That was their point.
I think that or the whoever wrote this movie does not like plastic surgery. I think that
for bunnies.
Yeah, because that's
the only thing. She's a bunny. Like it's
a freaking bunny. Yeah,
that's sexy.
Yeah, for plastic surgeons, bunny boob implants are a very important niche in the medical community.
And it looks like Zendaya plays that part. Like she's a young woman. She's an up like a kind of becoming a big deal. Like I wonder.
So maybe they designed the character a little more like her.
Maybe
they did a little bit. I think they did it with her, you know, in mind.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now she's probably poor her. She's probably like thinking, oh, everybody thinks I got small. You know, like, you know, I don't know. I'm not a woman. What do I know?
You want a hot take? And we're like, no, this is totally appropriate. Get your mind out of the gutter.
It was funny. One of the greatest soccer players in the world, Ronaldo. I mean, you ladies may have heard of him. Very mm-hmm. sexy man. You should put him up. Portuguese player, you know, one of the best footballers in the world. He had a statue built in Portugal, and he was pissed because the first design was not, you know, showing his, you know, his manhood. And he goes, I want you to do it again, but bigger. Yeah, I don't know.
It shows you what's important to whom.
But he's a real guy. We're talking about a cartoon. He's a real guy. He just wanted an accurate depiction of his whole jam.
Yeah. It'd be hard to
jam.
There's a lot of things you can call it. You know, the thing is, ladies, that us guys, we will not get mad at whatever it is however you want to refer to our junk. Okay. Whatever you want to call it, we don't care. We're not going to get mad. Why'd you say that? The fact that you're talking about it is good for us. our last story of the day, serial pooper banned for defecating and urinating in open spaces after numerous convictions in a British town. Yeah.
She was doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
How insane is that? 20 years of pooping around town. I mean, clearly she's not just getting like I don't, there's a mental illness going on here.
Yeah. I think,
and there, yeah.
I don't think you need to be a psychiatrist to understand that if somebody shit on the street, you know, almost 100 times, British serial pooper has been officially banned from defecating. Well, how are you going to ban her? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're banned from doing this again. Okay, thank you. And then she goes home and says, oh,
please, sir,
may I
do it again? One more time, please.
I shouldn't have ordered all those fries. Uh-oh, I can't find a loo. You know what I'm going to go do? I'm just going to go shit right over here by this banister. A British serial pooper has been officially banned from defecating and urinating in any open space in her town. Her defense attorney said, can she piss at least? In a town after more than two decades of criminal behavior, police said. Amanda Lee.
She missed an opportunity to monetize this. Like, she could have, I would have paid her to shit on my ex's doorstep or like somebody you don't like or your neighbor. Like,
she Instagram.
Yeah, she's like, whoever you want, like, I'll go shit on their doorstep or in their front yard, you know?
See?
Well, maybe that's the route. Yeah.
Go ahead, Gina.
No, maybe that's the route she's got to take now. Like, you know, hey, I can legally do this. I'm getting paid to poop on the guy's whatever.
Mary, we're gonna leave it up to you to contact Amanda Lee in England and say, "Hey, Amanda, you got an Instagram account?"
No, I'm gonna take over her duties literally, and they're gonna she's gonna be like, "It wasn't me. I swear I stopped." And I'd be like, "But I haven't stopped. I'm just getting started."
I mean, how fun would that be? What do you do for a living? I'm an influencer. What do you do? I go around. I go shitting on everybody's. You know, because there's a lot of people that don't like people. And I'm wondering if there's going to be a lot of comedy bookers that are going to find shit on their door after we take care of this. I'm not just talking about bookers. I don't want them to get mad at me. Boy, I just stuck my foot mouth. I just got canceled from 2 gigs.
Edit it out. If you can. Yeah. We're live.
All right, we're going to count down in 5 again. There comes a point when you have to say enough is enough. Take additional action to protect the community and the business in the area. She's like, it's a victimless crime. I fucked up my colon cons. I don't know if that's it. Oh my, ooh. Holy shit, she's scary looking. I don't know if this is going to be able to be seen. It's probably too.
Put it in front of your shirt. Hold it in front of your shirt. No, never mind. Mm-mm. Too bright. Oh.
There you go. Yeah. How about that? How'd you like to be walking out of your house after paying real estate taxes, $8,000 a year? See this beast out there dumping.
Take it down, Dougie, now.
But there's a story behind that story. She's just doing that for so long. What is going on inside that head? Why? No. Why?
Whatever was inside her is now out on somebody's porch.
Okay. All right, then.
All righty, there you go. Well, that's a great way to follow up the show with a big caca story. First of all, I want to thank my guests today, Mary Upchurch and Gina Savage. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dougie. It was a pleasure.
Yes. You sound like you guys are so excited. I'm only kidding. First of all, it's great to have you guys. And of course, Gina, I'm going to be coming back to Florida soon. You got a great room you're running, like I said, at the Dubliner in Boca Raton. Great bar, great comedy show every Wednesday night. It's free. You want to tell them anything else about it?
Just come down. I mean, it's a pro show that a lot of people are still not aware of. It's a pro show, 8 o'clock in the in Boca's backyard. People, it's free. So yeah, you said it. Follow Sunshine State Comedy on Instagram, sunshine_state_comedy, and then you can see where all the shows are.
There you go. Mary, what's happening in your world?
Just doing some shows around town and all over. I'm gonna be at the House of Comedy for the World Series of Comedy at the end of next week. I'd love for anybody to come and watch and buy a ticket for that. You can find me at the Sacktown Comedy Get Down early August. And on Instagram at Mary Upchurch Comedy or at Wings with Friends Podcast.
There you go. As for myself, at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and Funny Fiduciary on Twitter, because Twitter kicked me off because of some woman in England. She was probably the lady that was shitting all over the place. She didn't like what I had to say. And other than that, I'm going to be at the Comedy Zone this Thursday night judging the finals in the contest, the local contest of comics. It's going to be great. And after we tally the votes, I'm going to go up and do about 10 minutes of new stuff. Can't wait. Right? Isn't that great? Putting out new stuff, right? New jokes.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a great idea until people go, you suck. that's always the worry about doing new material. Like you said, this guy has been doing it a long time. Anyway, that's it. You can follow our show on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show, Wake Up Live with Dougie Show, and of course on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Other than that, we'll be back next week with my good friend Trix from Vegas and Spiro, two Vegas comics, will be on the show next week. Don't forget to join our fan page on Facebook. And aside from that, guys, thanks again, ladies, for being with us. Everybody else out there, thanks so much for joining us. And we'll be back next week right here at the same spot. Take care.
Thanks, Dougie.
Thanks, Dougie. Yeah.